Today is a real special day for us. It's a different kind of service than what we usually do. Although so far we're pretty much, you know, with the flow of what we always do, except usually we have a bigger band, and that's not necessarily better. It's just different. It has a little more groove to it than I can provide on just the acoustic. But nevertheless, it's a special day for us. Over the course of the last season of the Great News Club, some of the kids responded to the great news by receiving the gift that God offers them. And that is the great news, that every person ever born has a problem called sin that keeps us from God. But God, who wants to have a relationship, a friendship with each and every person ever born, has provided a solution for our problem, and he offers that solution as a gift. It's ours for the taking. All we have to do is receive it. The way that gift becomes ours is to simply receive it by faith, and that means trusting God's promise that when we believe the gospel, the great news about Jesus, our sin will be washed away, forgiven, forever, cast as far as the east is from the west. And some of the kids during the course of the season learned about that good news, and they made the decision to receive God's gift, and that's what brings us to this day. Now, the next step after somebody puts their faith in Jesus is to be baptized. And that's obviously what we're going to do today. But before we do that, before we jump in, literally, with both feet, it seems like it might be a good idea to explain briefly what baptism is all about. You know, what is it? What does it mean? Who is it for? Why do we do it? Does it matter if you're dipped or dunked or sprinkled? What's the point of the whole thing? And so in just a few minutes, I promised Debbie, just a few minutes, although I could talk about it all day, I promise not to. We want to look at some of those questions. There is in Bible study a thing called the principle of first mention. And what that means is when you want to learn about something, when you want to find out about a specific topic, a good place to start is to find where that thing, that topic, is first mentioned in the Bible. Now, when it comes to water baptism, the first mention is in the third chapter of Matthew. So this morning we're going to look to Matthew 3 to answer some basic questions about baptism. Now, I suppose the first question that we should ask, that we really have to ask, is what is baptism? Just, you know, simply, what is it? So let's take a look here at the first six verses and see what the word has to say. Matthew chapter 3, starting right in verse 1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist," or more literally, John the Baptizer, "came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to see him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." Right there in the last verse, 6, it says they all came out and were baptized by him in the Jordan River. A good place to start when we're trying to figure out what baptism is to find out what that word literally means. In the original Bible text, it's the word baptizo, and it means to immerse, to soak, to saturate. In some cases, it's translated to overwhelm, or to submerge. Now, it comes from a very similar word, bapto, which means to dunk. Now, interestingly enough, the Bible scholars and archaeologists have found from the first century, from the time of Christ, a recipe for pickles. And in that recipe, it really explains or describes the difference between babto and baptism. The recipe goes something like this. First you dip, that is babto, the cucumbers in boiling water, and then you soak or baptize them in vinegar. And anybody who's ever made pickles, everybody who's ever eaten a pickle, knows that what happens is the vinegar, the solution, the pickling solution, soaks into every pore and every space in that cucumber. And so by the time it's ready, you don't taste cucumber. You taste the brine, the stuff that it's pickled in. And that really is the idea. Now, it still looks like a cucumber, kind of, for the most part, but it doesn't taste like a cucumber. It tastes like that vinegar solution. Well, to be baptized, literally, means to be immersed or soaked or saturated or pickled. Thank you very much. Not pickled in the sense that you might mean it, but pickled nonetheless. So what is baptism? It's an immersion. It's a soaking. I like the way one guy says it. It's to be saturated, like a sponge, just saturated so you can hold no more. Now, the next question is, who should get baptized? Now, the key to that is in this text as well. This text tells us two things about the people who came to John to be baptized. In verse 2, it says, John was in the wilderness baptizing, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So the people that John baptized were those that responded to this challenge, this call to repentance. Now, the word repent, as all you Greek scholars know, I'm sure, is something I can't pronounce. Metanoeo. Metanoeo, repent. And it doesn't mean what maybe you think it means, because what metanoeo really means is to think again, rethink, think about it. You know, I've had second thoughts. That's what it means to repent, to think again, to change your mind. But not only change your mind, because of that change of mind, you then change your actions. Imagine you're sitting in a movie theater, and you know the old joke about, is it okay to yell, fire in a crowded movie theater? And my son was a fireman once, and I asked him if it's okay to yell movie in a crowded firehouse. He didn't. That's what he said. He groaned. So there you are in the movie theater, and someone yells fire. Now, if you think it's just some kids pulling a prank, you just sit there and watch the movie, right? But if you believe the person, if they have some kind of credibility and you smell smoke and there really is a fire, you're going to get up and you're going to get out of there. It all depends on your thinking, whether you believe that you're sitting there and everything's fine and then you think again. You change your thinking. There's a fire in here. And because you've changed your thinking, you change your actions. You don't just sit there. You get up and get out. That's what it means to repent. I had a friend who was he had a skateboard ministry, and I don't know if we have any skateboarders here. I know, Rich, you're pretty heavy into skateboarding, aren't you? I don't know. Gosh, I don't know why I thought. Anyway, he explained it to the skateboarders like this. To repent means you do a 180. Now, a skateboarder knows what that means. It means you kind of flip the back of that thing up and you turn around 180 degrees and go the other way. You rethink. You change your mind and you change your direction. So the people that John baptized were those that responded to that challenge to rethink, to change their mind and change their lives. Now in verse 6, it tells us that they were confessing their sins, the very last words in verse 6. So not only did these people respond to the challenge to rethink things, they also were confessing their sins. Now here's another impressive Greek word. Homologeo. That's the word translated confessed here. homologeo, and what that means is to say the same thing or to agree. Now, we think of confession maybe when, of course, none of our Great News kids would ever do anything wrong. But, you know, just pretend for a minute. And you say, you know, did you break this? Did you do that? Did you go there? Did you disobey? And we think that when they admit that they did it, we think of that as a confession. But think a little further, because what you're doing is you're saying, you did this, didn't you? And they're saying, they're agreeing, yes, I did. I did it. They're saying the same thing that you're saying. That's what this word confession. In some texts, we'll go there later. Confess means to say the same thing. So the people that John baptized had repented. They'd changed their thinking about the way they were living. And they had confessed their sins. That is, they'd agreed with God about sin, what sin is and what sin leads to. It follows then that people who get baptized today are people who've done those same things. They've changed their thinking about living without God, and they're in agreement with God about what sin is and where it leads. Now that leads us to a third question. What is baptism and who should get baptized? The third question is, what's the purpose of baptism? What's the point? What's the reason for it? What does it accomplish? What, if anything, does it accomplish? Well, John's baptism, the one we're reading about here in Matthew chapter 3, was a public declaration of that person's decision to repent and confess, as we have defined them. When the crowd gathered along the bank of the river to hear the funny-looking guy in the camel's hair suit and the long hair and the long beard, when they came down to listen to him speak and see what he had to say, when they saw an individual go down into the water with him to be baptized in the Jordan River, they understood that to mean that that person was going to live differently from that day forward. Or that his life would be different, is a better way to say it, from that day forward. It was like making an announcement. When those people went down into the water, it was as if they stood up on the biggest soapbox or the tallest rock around and said, "Hey, everybody, I have made a decision in my life. I agree with God about what sin is and what it does, and I don't want that to be a part of my life anymore. I've changed my mind about living without God, and I'm choosing to live with God." Now, that's a part of what baptism means today. But Jesus came along, and he gave baptism a bigger meaning, a greater significance. It still means what it meant when John baptized people. But because of Jesus, baptism takes on a greater meaning. Look down at verse 11 here in Matthew chapter 3. This is John talking still. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." We've talked about that. "But he who is coming after me," that is Jesus, "is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So spirit baptism then would mean that you are saturated or pickled in the Holy Spirit. We know that when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, they're filled with the Spirit. They're sealed by the Spirit, kind of like an engagement ring. The Spirit says, this person belongs to the Lord. We're empowered by the Spirit. We receive a gift from the Spirit, some way that we can serve the Lord. But a word that kind of covers all of those is saturated. We're saturated with the Spirit. We're soaked in the Spirit. We're pickled in the Spirit so that he soaks into every part and pore of our being. So that even though we still look like us, the same old cucumbers, we don't taste like cucumbers. We don't act like cucumbers. We're saturated in the Spirit. Now, I want to point out here that he said that Jesus will baptize with Holy Spirit and fire, just so that no one thinks we're going to, you know, torture or anything. What he's talking about here in the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, fire is a symbol understood to mean purification, kind of like gold and precious metals are refined by fire. And that's part of Spirit baptism. As that Holy Spirit saturates our being, it displaces or forces out the impurities, the sin in our lives. So while John's baptism announced a decision to acknowledge and turn from sin, Jesus came to forgive sin, to take away sin, to take sin completely out of our lives. I mean, you've got repentance, turning from sin, that's one thing. You've got confession, agreeing that sin is sin, but Jesus actually takes away sin. And he did that through his death and his resurrection. Now turn up in your Bibles a little bit to Romans chapter 6. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. And find chapter 6. Just want to read two verses from here. Romans 6, and find verse 3. And this is the Apostle Paul writing here. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now let's break that down a little bit. See, Christian baptism is not only a public declaration of repentance and confession, it's also our identification or identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's what I mean. As you go down into the water, it declares that your old life, life apart from God, is dead and buried. And as you come up out of the water, it declares your resurrection into new life, a whole different kind of life, life with God. See, that's what being born again is all about. I know we've all heard that phrase about being born. Are you born again? You got to be born again. Well, that's what he's talking about. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're made alive in a whole new way that you weren't, where you weren't alive before. Alive not just physically, but spiritually. Alive for the first time. Now, that's what being born again is all about. Theologians call that regeneration. But in John 3:3, Jesus called it being born again, or born of the Spirit, alive for the first time. Baptism is the believer's way of saying, may I have your attention, please? You know, attention, Kmart shoppers. Heads up. Everybody listen to this. My sin has died with Jesus, and I am now alive for the first time with him. That's what baptism declares. I am now a member of God's family, the family of faith. I am now one of God's people, part of God's kingdom. I am now another trophy of God's grace, and I want everybody to know it. That's why we do it in public more often than we do it in private. So we fill up the tub, or we go down to the river, which is the way I kind of prefer to do it. Even when it's cold and rainy, the river is just something about that. We fill the tub, we go to the river, and one by one, we tell the whole world what Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what baptism's all about. Now, there's one more thing we probably should clear up before we move ahead. Baptism, in and of itself, does not save us from sin. Only faith can do that. Baptism, see, it isn't for God, it's for us. It's something that we do to celebrate what God has already done for us. Baptism, water baptism, is an act that visibly demonstrates that invisible spiritual reality of what happens when we believe the great news and put our faith in Jesus to forgive our sin and reconnect us with our Creator. It helps us remember that by grace we're saved through faith. And whether you're dipped or you're dunked or you're sprinkled isn't really the question. The question is, have you agreed with God that sin always and only leads to death? Have you accepted God's gift of forgiveness by believing who Jesus is and what he's done and trusting that he gave his life for you so that he could give his life to you? Have you turned from sin and death to the Lord in life? Baptism tells the world that you have. That's what baptism is all about.